Communion, the Holy Communion is receiving of Jesus Christ in the sacraments of the Holy Eucharist. Communion means uniting or sharing together. In Holy Communion, Christ and our soul are intimately united, and we share the banquet of the Lord's table. And then Christ commands us, you know, that we have to eat his body and blood in order to have eternal life. And also, you know, it's in the number three, it's mentioned about it is not necessary for us to receive communion under both kinds, under the forms of both bread and wine. It is sufficient to receive Holy Communion under one kind, for Christ is present whole and entire under each form of bread or wine. According to the Latin rites which we follow, the laity is permitted to receive communion under the form of bread. So this is a discipline when your dad was in school. Right nowadays, laity do allow to receive the precious blood as well, but of course it's not sometimes if it's small community, like in the convent, you know, with the nuns, then it's easy to do. But if it is in a big church, you know, with a couple hundreds of people, it's more difficult. And so that's why you don't see that done regularly on Sunday Mass. In many of the churches in Vancouver Diocese, you don't see that done in people that have many Mass with many people. But Mass with smaller crowd, quite often is done with the nun. I still remember one time, you know, when I was a young priest, almost 10 years ago. So yes, that's true. Young priest 10 years ago. So I was saying Mass for the Mother Teresa nuns, and so I got the chalice, you know, and then the nun they all receive only a little bit. And so the rest of the precious blood I have to consume.
Oh, no.
And then when I walk back to the church, you know, to the rectory, I could feel a little bit funny. So so I told the nun, you know, to receive a bit more from the precious blood. in small crowd. So it's quite regular in the nuns of Mother Teresa convent, they do receive the precious blood. And I think they do that too in the poor clare. The nun also receive the precious blood. So done in the convent.
California, when I was there,
they do.
Yeah, I was surprised, and everybody was drinking.
On a Sunday.
And I guess that's where we went in San Diego. My sister-in-law goes to church. It's common, and there was a couple hundred people. Like it took a while.
Yeah, yeah, took a while.
Some places that I've been to have the option. You receive
the precious blood.
And then you can go if you want to and get it.
Some people walk past.
I think some years ago it was done like that in this parish. Is that right? In the middle aisle is receiving communion, and then on the side is the precious blood. But because when they have the SARS, you know, when they have the disease, so they stopped doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And so now it's like four stations is all for communion. Yeah.
And what if they dip?
The host should be the task of the one who give communion.
Yeah.
So I think the Holy See make that clear that people cannot just take the host themselves and then dip the host into the chalice themselves.
When is that you do that? What service do you do that?
I think it can be the discretion of the priest. You can do it every time.
You did it.
I did it before to honor the precious blood on Friday,
right.
But then after a while I give it up because it's just so much time, yeah. Because it's just much more, it's a bit challenging, yeah. So spiritual communion is a fervent desire to receive Christ when we cannot do so sacramentally. It may be made at all times and in all places. So anytime you can have the desire to receive Jesus in communion, so that calls spiritual communion. It should be made at Mass and in visit to the Blessed Sacrament. It merits graces for us and unite us with Christ spiritually. So, and then we are obliged to receive communion on two occasions. One is at Easter time. So if you already admit to First Communion, then every year at Easter time, we are under serious obligation to receive Jesus in communion. And then the other time that we should receive communion is when we are in danger of death. When we are in danger of death. So if somebody is in danger of death and still able to receive communion, the person should receive Jesus in Holy Communion. So that is the time that we should receive Jesus in communion. So even though some of you may receive sacrament later on, you know, I think you have confirmation. Now we decided to have them also on May 20th. I thought I coming with Bishop, you know. So May 20th is when the bishop come here to give confirmation. So all three of them will be doing that on May 20th, on the Friday night. When the rehearsal will be on May 18th in the evening, on Wednesday evening. It's the rehearsal.
It's my birthday. And I can go to my birthday dinner?
I think, what can we do for that one? Oh, after rehearsal, we go out for dinner.
What time is rehearsal?
I think it's 6:30. Yeah, after that, perfect. We can go for sushi. Gross, but no, don't do some at night time. It's only sushi at night time.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, we can have sushi afterward. Yeah, May 18. Wow, what a big day. Yeah, John Paul II birthday.
Yeah.
Yeah, John Paul. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's but I want to have the you of course to make your communion before that, because Easter time mean up to Pentecost Sunday, and then confession should also come before that, yeah. So and for you will be actually sooner than that because it's the Easter vigil, yeah. We should have.
So I'm confused. They have to do their confirmation first.
Mm-hmm.
And then they do confession.
No. Confession, communion first, and then confirmation.
But not at Easter vigil.
No, it's the vigil. No. Yeah.
So can they do confession anytime before?
Oh, we will talk about that later. Yeah, it will be most likely it will be on Easter vigil rehearsal after the rehearsal. Yeah, after the rehearsal, so they don't have to come another time, just that one time. We'll also include
Jade is receiving her first communion at the Easter vigil. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. And then, now, you know, to receive communion, we have to properly prepare. So, number three that apply to you. The child should be properly prepared to receive the sacrament. He does not need to know the entire catechism. Okay, good for you. You don't have to know the entire catechism. It is sufficient for him to have a general knowledge of the truth necessary for salvation. And a becoming devotion. Above all, he should know what and whom he is going to receive. So you know you are receiving Jesus. So Pope Pius X is called the children's pope because he revived the custom of first Christians of allowing children to receive Holy Communion when they came to the use of reason. In some countries, the practice has been introduced of making children wait until they were 12 years old before they were permitted to receive Holy Communion. So that's about people who admit to First Communion, then they should receive communion at Easter time at least once a year. And then also when in danger of death, you know, because in danger of death, the communion is called Vialicum. So it's the food for the journey. So if somebody in danger of death, then we should also receive communion. Now that's the minimum requirement though. The church encouraged us if we are not in mortal sin, that we should receive communion often, even daily, because this intimate union with Jesus Christ, the source of all holiness and giver of all graces, is the greatest aid to a holy life. So it was mentioned, you know, good Catholics should go to Holy Communion at least once a month, or better, every time they hear Mass. Frequent Catholics communicate daily. if the body cannot do without food, how can the soul? So it's really important that to really receive communion frequently. So if we have the proper disposition, we may communicate daily, except on Good Friday. Early Christian communicate daily. Persons who are accustomed to communicate daily do not need to go to confession daily. They should go to confession weekly or twice a month unless they fall into mortal sin, when they should be sorry and go to confession at once. I believe that when they think about except Good Friday, is that I think maybe in the Good Friday, in the old day, people didn't receive communion. I don't know if I'm correct. You know, maybe in the old rites, people don't receive communion on Good Friday. Yeah. So
what if you're dying on Good Friday?
Then the priest can give communion to the dying on that day. Yeah. Because I think I forgot about Good Friday, but like Holy Saturday, we don't give communion on Holy Saturday except in the form of realicum and in the form of communion for the dying. For Holy Saturday, I think for Good Friday you can still give communion to the sick, but for Holy Saturday, I'm quite sure the rule is that you don't give communion unless it's somebody dying during the day, and then of course during the Mass of the whole Easter, then everybody can receive communion who can receive. So,
but Holy Saturday, is that the Easter Vigil?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but until the Easter Vigil. You know, sometimes during the day, the priest can all go to visit the sick and give communion, right? But Holy Saturday is not the day that we give communion to anybody, unless the person is dying during the day. Yeah.
So during the day.
So at Easter Vigil, that doesn't apply.
Easter Vigil is, it's the Mass, of course.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
No. Communion at Easter Vigil.
Yes, it's the vigil. Oh, yeah. Not during the day. During the day is the rehearsal. It's a rehearsal and a confession. Right. Yeah. Do you know how to make confession? Good for you. Do you know who do you receive in Holy Communion?
Pardon?
Do you know who are you receiving in Holy Communion? It's Jesus, right? Yeah. Good for you. Yeah. Okay. After Easter Vigil, you know what? Around May-ish, our main focus will be on confirmation. Yes. Okay. So, now in here, some persons say that they are not good enough to go to daily communion. They should remember that Eucharist is not meant a reward of virtue, but as an aid toward the attainment of virtue. Huh? So you don't need to be perfect to receive communion. As long as you have no mortal sin, you have good intention, that you do what need to be prepared, like fast an hour before communion, then you can go. But of course, if you have mortal sin, then you shouldn't go. You should go to confession first before communion. Now, in the old days, the rule was that only receive once a day, except when one fell dangerously ill, then you can receive realicum. Holy Communion is usually distributed at Mass or immediately before or after it. It may be given at any hour at which it is permitted to say Mass, whether in the morning or in the afternoon, whether one observes the Eucharistic fast. Okay, this statement have changed since 1983 Code of Canon Law. This is from the old days again. In the current discipline, you can receive communion two times a day. But the second communion must be at the Mass that you attend. And then also, if you are sick, then you don't have to fast. Because, you know, if you think about that, one of the practical issues is, let's say the priest going around giving communion to the sick people at home. If the person have to fast, sometimes it will be difficult for the priest. You have to really, you know, calculate, you know, when I'm going to each person and really accept so the person know to fast. So, it is in hospital or in nursing home, it can be difficult. So for people who are sick, elderly, I think elderly included too, you know, if they're weak, you know, then they don't have to fast. And also even those who look after them don't have to fast. So let's say if you go to a hospital, you give communion to the sick person, and then the family member also want to receive, the person doesn't have to fast as well, can receive communion.
Do you have a special a very special communion liturgy that you do when you're giving to a sick person?
Usually, the liturgy for the communion for the sick is you greet the people, you say the I confess, you do a little reading, and then you say the Our Father, and then behold the Lamb of God, receive communion, a prayer, and then if you are the priest, give the blessing, and then if you are not a priest, invoke a blessing.
So what do the extraordinary ministers do?
Same thing. As I said, if you're not a priest then, or deacon, then you invoke a blessing. May the Lord bless us, protect us from all evil, and bring us to everlasting life. Let's light the divine office. I think similar, something like that. Yeah. So, but the rite is basically it's the same for if a priest or deacon or extraordinary minister of Holy Communion is all similar rites. And then if you are giving communion to a number of people in the institute or facility, then what you do is that you can say antiphon in the first room. You do the Our Father, give communion, move on to the second room, third one, last one. The last one, after you finish, you also say a concluding prayer. So that's all. So there's a more simplified when it is in a hospital. Then you can do it in a shorter form. Yeah. Okay. Any question? Okay.
Do they still do this in some churches? This practice of the